Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt, and we're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com. You can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville on iTunes, and of course, Core Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear. Our next guest is the COO of the Special Olympics World Games, coming to L.A. July 25th through August 2nd, Mr. Jeff Carr. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Bob?
I am wonderful. I was looking through some of the numbers when we're talking about, 30,000 volunteers and 3,000 coaches and 7,000 athletes, 177 countries. This is a huge event. This is unbelievable. How long have you guys been in the planning process for the World Games?
Well, the city of Los Angeles, actually, the bid committee formed in the fall of 2010, and we were actually awarded the games by the Special Olympics International in September of 2011. I've personally started working full-time with the games organizing committee in January of 2012. I was a third employee. And so we've been at it for quite a while, but it is going to be the largest event held in Los Angeles since the 1984 Olympics, and it's actually going to be the largest sports and humanitarian event in the world this year. So it is a pretty big deal.
Now, Jeff, did you have a background with Special Olympics before all this started?
No, actually, my background is in the nonprofit and government sector. Actually, when the city bid on this, I was actually the chief of staff to the previous mayor, Mayor Villaraigosa.
Okay.
And he was on the bid committee. And our CEO, Pat McClenahan of the World Games, he was the president of CBS Television here in Los Angeles. And he and I have been friends for 15 years. And he called me when he got a tap on the shoulder from Tim Shriver asking him if he'd be willing to put together a bid committee. And he called me and said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I think you should totally do it, Pat." Never thinking I would get myself involved in this. But once we won the bid, and I had been in the administration for 4.5 years, and Pat decided to take a break from his television career, he asked me if I'd be the chief operating officer. And I said no 3 or 4 times. And then he said, "Why don't you just come and be a consultant? Just help me for 90 days get this thing off the ground."
Ah,
and so I finally said yes to that.
Yeah.
And of course, then I experienced what everyone else does who gets involved with Special Olympics. I met the athletes.
Yeah.
And they are what really Special Olympics is all about. They're pretty incredible in terms of who they are as people and what they've overcome as athletes in many cases. So they captured my imagination, and here I am 3.5 years later.
So July 25th through August 2nd, so we're only about, 90 days away from...
We are exactly 90 days away. Actually, right now, we will be 2 minutes into opening ceremony on...
Wow.
On the 25th of July, yeah. It's coming quick.
What venues will you be using for the World Games? And probably the better question is, what venues won't you be using?
Well, we will have, of course, we'll be using the Memorial Coliseum for opening ceremony, just like the 32 and 84 Olympics. In terms of the sporting venues, we'll have a cluster of venues down in Long Beach and Alamitos Bay. We'll be having things like cycling and the triathlon and open water swimming and the half marathon, kayaking, beach volleyball. Then at USC, that'll be a Olympic Village, Special Olympics Village, where the athletes will be staying there. Well, about two-thirds of the athletes and coaches there. We'll have track and field, swimming, and basketball there. We're turning the South Hall of the Convention Center into an event center. We're actually building 6 arenas, 6 different sports will be in the Convention Center downtown. And then in Griffith Park, we'll have golf and the equestrian center. We'll have equestrian. Then we'll have soccer or football, as they call it in the rest of the world. We'll have one division out in Encino, and then we'll have 6 sports on campus at UCLA, as well as another athlete village and a Special Olympics festival there as well.
So what surprised you the most? Like you said, you were looking at this, you weren't going to take the job as COO. What was it about the athletes that moved you to the point of, okay, I need to be involved here?
Well, I think when we think about Special Olympians, usually people, they have an intellectual disability.
Right.
And so people really, I think they focus more on their disability than anything else. And what I learned when I started spending time with athletes is, as you get to know the athletes, really their disability kind of starts to disappear. And what sort of rises to the top is their abilities.
Yeah.
And so you know, that's the thing. When you really start to see how capable they are in so many different ways, whether it would be through whatever their sport of choice is, how accomplished they are at it, or the determination they pursue their goals with, I mean, it's very inspiring. And in really whatever their disability happens to be, it just kind of goes away, and you just see them for who they are as human beings and as athletes.
Well, what's interesting too is these athletes are competitive. I think a lot of times people think this is just sort of ceremonial. Let's get some folks out here. Let's throw some ribbons out. But the athletes themselves, they're traveling from all over the world. You're talking 177 countries. They're coming here to compete.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a whole range of athletes. I mean, some of our athletes are really high-performing athletes. One of the most amazing statistics to me, the Special Olympics World Summer Games were in 2007, were in Shanghai, China.
Yeah.
And, of course, a year later in 2008, the Beijing Olympics were held.
Right.
The regular Olympics and the Paralympics,
yeah.
And actually 109 of the Special Olympic athletes' performances at the 2007 Shanghai Games were as good as or better than Olympic athlete performances in the 2008 Beijing Olympics. So some of our athletes really are spectacular athletes. But then some of them, you know, who might have, say, cerebral palsy, which, you know, is an intellectual disability but also has physical, the palsy creates physical challenges. When you watch them compete, you will really see the determination that they have. And while they may not be the fastest runner on the track,
yeah,
when you see the determination, you really see the competitive nature come out like you suggested.
So the biggest challenge when you're talking about the Olympics, really, I mean, this is an Olympic event when you're talking the numbers of people from all over the globe. What's the biggest challenge for you when you're dealing with this volume of people and volume of events? And you're talking a couple weeks,
a full week. Yeah, they'll be here for almost 2 weeks.
It is 2 weeks, yeah.
Count in the host town,
right,
which is 3 days before the opening ceremonies. We'll have athletes spread throughout 85 communities in Southern California where they'll get acclimated to the time zone and do some light training before the games start and experience some of the local flavor of Southern California. But yeah, they'll be here for 2 weeks. We're responsible for, once they arrive, we're responsible for food, their housing, their transportation, their health care, entertainment, obviously the sports and
wow,
competition,
yeah,
themselves. So actually, you know, you could break down every single one of those and the complexity of just the transportation when you think about moving 10,000 athletes and coaches to 25 different sporting venues every single day.
In LA.
Yeah. Then you've got fans, half a million spectators. So getting them around, people that have credentials on our transportation system, parking them.
Yeah.
And it is a big operation. That's just one little piece of all the different pieces that have to fit together to make this event come across.
What type of financial impact does this event will this event have on the city of Los Angeles?
Well, it's interesting. The tourism board for the city of Los Angeles actually contracted with an economic impact group, and
yeah,
they estimated this will generate $415 million of economic activity here in Southern California, and, you know, millions of dollars of tax dollars, which will come into both the city and the county and the state. But, you know, hotels that'll be
taken
in. We have over 36,000 hotel room nights that'll be booked here. Obviously, people will spend money purchasing food and souvenirs and going to other places while they're here. So it'll be a huge impact for the economy.
When you first were involved with the bid process, what other cities were going? I mean, when you're talking about this type of numbers, I'm sure every city around the world would love to have this.
I think there were about a half a dozen cities that were involved when LA got in the bid process, but it came down to South Africa and to Durban, South Africa, and Los Angeles, and that was the two finalists. And then when the International Selection Committee made visits for a week to each city, after they came to Los Angeles, they actually awarded the games to us, and we were excited about it.
So after August 2nd, then what will you be doing after August 2nd? I mean, you're going to be in and between now and then, it's going to be 24/7. When this goes away, then what?
Well, I'm going to go back to my hardcore triathlon training, I hope.
Oh, good. Okay.
Get back into the sport again. I've been taking a little break here since I did an Ironman last November. And then I'm going to find my next job, which I'm not sure exactly what that'll be, but I'm hoping that there'll be something that I can do. Most of my career has been, working, whether it was inner city kids yeah. or in the mayor's administration. I was the LA's first gang czar. My job was to try and reimagine a strategy for the city around gangs. So right. I've always tried to work with people who are sort of living on the margins. And so I hope I can do something else that would contribute to making the world a better place to live.
So coming from a triathlon background, I'm guessing if you're talking last November, that you, was it Arizona, Florida? Which Ironman did you do?
Actually, it was Mexico.
Oh, I did, smart man.
Yeah.
I've heard Cozumel. Wonderful stuff about Cozumel.
It was fantastic. It was my very first one, too. I turned 50 in January and decided I set a bunch of goals for myself. I'm actually about 60 pounds lighter than I worked in the mayor's office. So
really?
Yeah, so I got started exercising, and somebody introduced me to triathlon at a little sprint triathlon in August of 2012, and I was hooked. And so when I turned 50 in January of 2014, I set a bunch of goals that culminated with doing Ironman Cozumel in Mexico in November.
So you went from 2012, you basically went, you lost 60 pounds and ended up completing an Ironman all within a span of a couple years.
Yeah, actually, I guess now when I think about it, I dropped probably, I was down to 195. I was about almost 260 when I left the mayor's office. I was 257.
Wow.
So, it was quite a transition. And the training was amazing. I never thought I'd ever be able to do something like that ever in my life, much less when I was 50. So it was fun. It was a great experience.
So going to Cozumel and coming across that finish line, it's funny. It's easy to look at 140.6 miles and look at it as overwhelming, but after you've done all that training, it's something you can accomplish. And coming down that last part, straightaway, and knowing that you're going to finish that thing, what was going through your mind?
Oh my gosh, I started cramping up on the marathon probably about mile 18. So I was kind of running and walking, and actually I walked with a young lady from Houston who was totally disoriented. I walked with her for a while just to get her to the end. But then I took off running for the last mile, and coming down that chute, when I could finally heard the crowd, I mean, I just had adrenaline coursing through my veins. And then at that point, you don't feel anything. You feel like you're flying. And which is really what I hope to have happen this summer with the athletes at the Special Olympics. We're really working on trying to recruit, thousands of people here in Southern California to really come out and feel the stands up, because having experienced that in Cozumel and other, I was an athlete in college. There's something about having people watching you and cheering for you that really helps you perform in ways that you wouldn't be able to if it wasn't for having a crowd there. So we're really hoping to get lots of people here in Southern California to come out and be a part of the games that way.
Have you, like you said, you lost 60 pounds. Have you been able to keep that off after finishing the Ironman?
Yeah, I'm about 215 now, so I'm about 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
I wish if I was probably still training like I was, or not quite as much as I was, I would like to be about 210, 205, somewhere in there.
It'll come back. That's not a problem.
Yeah. So.
And you mentioned 30,000 volunteers. I'm assuming that if people go to la2015.org, can they find out how to help out and how to become a volunteer?
Yeah, they can. There's really two kinds of volunteers. We need about 10,000 what we're kind of calling shift volunteers or core volunteers who will work up to five shifts. And those people really have jobs in terms of, they'll have a specific assignment in a particular part of the games. They'll be uniformed and they'll be really part of our personnel. We'll only have 400 employees, paid employees at games time. So that'll be a key part of how we run this thing. And then we're recruiting about another 20,000 volunteers, what we're calling fans in the stands. And these are the people I mentioned earlier that we really are hoping to recruit out and see as part of what it means to be a great volunteer is to come out and fill those stands. Because, even in the Olympics, you'll sometimes see coverage on television. You'll see a bunch of empty seats
Absolutely. In
a venue where there's competition going on. And we really don't want that for these athletes. We think they really deserve to play or to compete in front of, filled venues where there's lots of people. And so that for us is just as important a volunteer role as having a specific assignment.
So have you been to some Special Olympic events since you guys got the World Games and got a sense of not just so much the athletes, but the competition and how serious the athletes are about it?
Yeah, I have. We actually sent a team to the 2013 Special Olympics Winter Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea, which is where actually the 2018 Winter Olympics will be.
Okay.
And so we got to watch winter sports there, there were 9 winter sports. And so we got to watch that, and that was fantastic. And I actually did a unified slalom ski event with a young man who was on Team USA, who was an absolutely amazing skier. I mean, he just flew down the hill, and I was chasing him most of the time. And then I went to the national games. Last summer, we took a team to New Jersey for the U.S. national games. And again, that was the summer games there, and saw some amazing athletes as well there. So, you know, we've got a good sense of, you know, the summer athletes, they move a little slower in terms of moving them around the venues.
Right.
So it was good experience to just see, you know, kind of how they do some of the logistics. And I think we'll be ready. We've got a great team. We've got a lot of people that have worked at large scale, you know, World Cups and Olympics.
Yep.
I call them event gypsies. You know, they
exactly.
got great
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
I've worked with a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about triathlon and open water swimming and half marathon and cycling, I know there's some of the events, I think the triathlon, where just the public can come participate as well. How does that work? Are all the events open to the public to participate as well, or only some?
Just actually 2, and we did this last summer. We did, it was called Endurance Weekend, and the triathlon and the half marathon are going to both be held in Long Beach right there at Alamitos Bay.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we had some Special Olympic athletes who competed, and we kind of opened it to the public to try and build some awareness. But this summer at the Games, the athletes that will be running in the half marathon, it's actually going to be open to the public to anyone who's a half marathoner can actually sign up and go on the website and sign up and actually run in the half marathon. And the goal is to, you know, have them be a part of that, run with the athletes, but then to have a built-in crowd when, you know, the our athletes finish, you know, they'll be able to see them do that. That's the same thing in the triathlon. So we had a couple Special Olympic athletes who competed in the triathlon. And we're hoping to get lots of Southern California triathletes to come out and participate. It's a great way to show support of the Games, but also then for folks who, you know, really understand the sport of triathlon, you know, to really be there to cheer on some of our athletes. It's actually a demonstration sport in the Special Olympics, and so we're hoping that it's something that will grow over the years in Special Olympics.
Well, that's cool because triathlon will be, I think, a Paralympic sport for the first time in 2016. And to be in the Special Olympics this time around as an exhibition, it shows the sport is growing.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's apparently it's good. There's a young athlete. I think there's a young man from Miami and another one from the Caribbean that are actually apparently very, very skilled triathletes. So again, like I said earlier, there's going to be some athletes that I think are going to blow people's minds at how good they are. So
if people want to sign up for the triathlon or for the half marathon, is that again at la2015.org? Can you find out that information for your average person who wants to run the half marathon or wants to run the triathlon and be connected to the World Games?
Yeah, they can come to la2015.org and also Spectrum Sports.
Oh, okay.
One of our partners is actually managing that for us, and so they can also find it at Spectrum Sports. Sign up and come out and join us. I'm hoping to, we're doing it's a sprint triathlon.
Yes.
And so I'm actually hoping to do that myself if I can
find
a little time on that one day when they have the event.
And I saw something on the website about support an athlete. I think it was you put up like $2,500 to basically connect yourself with an athlete. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we've estimated that, well, when the teams that are coming, the athletes and the delegations, they actually are responsible for getting here to the United States. But once they land at LAX and the wheels are down, we're basically responsible for everything for them for 2 weeks. So their food, their housing, their transportation, medical, entertainment. And so we've estimated the cost of that is about $2,500 per athlete.
Yeah.
And so we started the Support an Athlete campaign about a year and a half ago, and it's been a great way for folks can go online, they can set up their own fundraising page, and then when they raise $2,500, we actually pair them up with an athlete. So then they'll get a photo of their athlete that they're supported. They'll get a little bit about them, some of the basic stuff, and then they'll also get their what sport they're competing in, and then also they'll get the competition schedule. So, you know, if they had a track and field athlete, they'll know that when track and field sessions for track and field are happening, where the location is, and we hope folks then would come out and actually cheer on their athlete. You know, they may have someone from South Africa or from France, and it hopefully makes people feel a little more connected to the game, and also as a way for them to help us raise the $62 million that it's going to cost to put these games on.
$62 million.
$62 million is the number. Yeah.
And you thought the Ironman was overwhelming.
That's a big number, but we've made great progress. We're to almost $54 million.
Wow.
So we've got 90 days left. We raised a lot of money. Yeah. It's been fantastic. People have been great. We've got great corporate sponsors like Coca-Cola and Deloitte and Mattel and Bank of America and Toyota and lots of folks like that, as well as lots of individuals and foundations who've really rallied to help us. And
ESPN too, right? ESPN is involved.
Well, yeah. And ESPN is our global media partner. This will be the first time the Special Olympics have been televised live on television around the world. So opening ceremony will be televised in prime time and around the world, and then ESPN will have 10 hours of coverage during the week. They'll have a nightly highlight show, and they're actually right now out filming around the world for the last 3 months. They're going to do about 25 vignettes, kind of like their 30 for 30 of a movie stuff, and they're going to start rolling out some of those starting, I believe, on May 26th, kind of as a road to the World Games, and then throughout the week, they'll highlight certain athletes and they'll have a story about them. So those guys know how to tell stories, and it's going to be, they've been a great partner.
Love that. Jeff, congratulations on all of this. It's, I love having the World Games coming here to LA in our backyard. Everything kicks off July 25th through August 2nd. 30,000 volunteers, 3,000 coaches, 7,000 athletes from 177 countries, huge financial impact, $450 million financial impact for the city of LA and for Southern California. Jeff, this is just, it's a little over, when I look at those numbers, it's just overwhelming. I can't believe you took this thing on.
Well, it's been a labor of love. One of the best parts about this job is I had the freedom and the authority to hire some athletes. So we have three athletes that work for us, Dustin Plunkett and Keely Vesfelt and Marco Martinez. And, it's great. You know, in an event like this, you know, there's some fire you got to put out every day.
Of course.
And so sometimes you get frustrated. And one of the great things I do is I just pause for a second and go hang out with Keely or Marco or Dustin. And it's a good, just a good centering and reminder of why we're doing this. We're really doing this for them to
absolutely
really use this platform to create the awareness that leads to more acceptance and inclusion of people with disabilities. So
well,
it's a honor.
It's funny, when I was at the London London Paralympics, seeing 85,000 people in a stadium cheering on people missing legs and in wheelchairs. This is the same.
I was there with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing feeling how the world has changed, where you're going to have that Coliseum rocking on July 25th for people, for our Special Olympic athletes. And when they cross those, we forget sometimes how much people gain from sport and what they gain in terms of their, just the way they feel about themselves as a person. And when they leave LA, they're going to be different. They're going to be changed for the better because of that experience.
Well, one simple thing I'll tell you, we had a test event last June at USC with about 13 countries that we had come in, and we've combined that with the regional summer games here for Southern California. At the swim stadium at USC, it was packed. It holds about 2,500 people.
Yeah.
And there was a 25-meter backstroke competition, and the race started. There was a young woman from Costa Rica who they had to lower into the pool, and she was very scared just about getting in the water. And her coach was on the outside. She was on the outside lane, and he was outside of her, just kind of talking to her to calm her down. And when the gun went off, the race started, all the other athletes, just took off swimming, and she started swimming as well. But she literally, as she was backstroking, the only part of her body, she was in a wheelchair, but when she was swimming, the only part of her body that was above water was her mouth and her nose. And every time she would take a backstroke, her whole head would go underwater.
Wow.
And it actually, everyone had already finished, and the crowd completely got quiet. And it was so quiet in that stadium, you could hear her coach talking to her, just trying to assure her and calm her down. And when she finished that 20, you know, it was only 25 meters.
Right.
But man, when she finished that 25 meters and touched the end line, literally that stadium erupted, because every single person there understood that for that young woman from Costa Rica, just getting in the pool was a struggle for her. And then to actually swim and to make it 25 yards, everyone recognized what an accomplishment that was for her. And the inspiration that came from that, everyone understood how amazing that was. And like you said, that's
what it's
the
about.
Power of sport. That is the power of sport right there.
Exactly. That was her Ironman.
That's right.
25 yards meant the world to her. And
that's exactly right.
And not just her family. And all of her
friends.
Oh,
and everybody
friendly.
Who was watching.
Yes.
There wasn't a dry eye in the place. Everybody was loving it. So
I love that. Jeff, congratulations on all that you're doing. This is going to be very, very special 2 weeks here in L.A. Again, for people wanting more information, just la2015.org or Spectrum Sports website. And come out and run the half marathon and do the triathlon. That's open to the public, and there's nothing better than participating side by side with athletes and creating a bond that you'll have forever.
Yep. Thanks so much, Bob.
Hey, Jeff, really, really appreciate it. Again, we're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, Babbittville. You can check out any of our interviews on iTunes on Babbittville. Core Sports, the very best in women's athletic wear. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.